Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Soulful Healing Talk Show. Welcome, 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 and greetings to everybody tuned in to me tonight. Greetings, Karen, on my chat room, and greetings to all on Facebook. Just let me know you're logged in. Sean, Doug, Dwight, thank you for being here. Stacey Ann, thank you. Kimmy, thank you for being here. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you guys always tuning in. Hey, Andrew, thank you for being here. You know, I just love this. I just love it. And everybody else who's tuned in all over the world, I just wanted to say big up. And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate all the company that, you know, you're giving me. Thank you. And I would love to hear from you. So please call in. The topic tonight is, you know, we're continuing on the body, mind, and soul connection. And I just wanted to talk about that tonight. You know, how it actually affects our bodies. You know, our bodies believe everything we think and feel and act, you know. And this is where the mind, body, and soul connection comes in. And we're going to talk about how our emotions affect our organs, our health, and our organs in our body. You know, we're going to talk about what emotions are, you know? And I would love for you to come and share with me tonight, guys. Please call me. Would love it. 646-595-3197. I just want to say, remember, even though I'm the host of the show, I'm still a student in life, and we all can teach each other with our experiences. You know, we can, your story is just as valuable as the next person's, and it will heal somebody. So please share with me tonight. Okay, so let me just get in so we can discuss as much as we can. So, you know, what are emotions? What are emotions? You know, many will describe it as feelings that your body got through, your mind got through, and all of that. But I'm taking it at another perspective, to another level. You know, emotions are like a bridge between your spiritual self and your physical world. You know, emotions speak the spiritual language of feelings, intuition, and understanding, and it let you know how you're processing energies, the life force energy that you have, whether you're using it wisely or you're not using it wisely. You know, emotions also create chemical reactions in our body, and it is aligned with the vibration of feeling that particular emotion. The vibrations in your body align with the chemical reactions according to the emotion you're feeling. That is to say that your emotions create a imprinted, you know, like those memory foams. It remember the position it was in, the form of your body. Well, your body remember those chemicals when you're going through that emotion. You know, those chemicals would kind of define the experience you have, the reality of the experience. You know, our cells are always responding to these chemicals, you know, as they receive or reject the feeling good emotions or the feeling bad emotions. Okay, we can't deny how some emotions make us feel great, and some emotions just zap the energy from us. That in itself shows you how, you know, the emotions affect your body, you know? And many people pay very little attention to their emotions, nor do they reflect and make themselves aware of how they're feeling. So Some people just don't bother with that side of them. But it's really important that you become aware of your emotions. That when you feel good, your higher self is telling you all is well. And when you feel uneasy, something is telling you that something is not all well. Something is amiss. Or something, you feel like something is going to happen, you know. Look at things. Your senses pick up on also, which trigger emotions too. Everyone experiences four basic set of opposite emotions. Joy and sadness and acceptance and disgust. Fear and anger, and surprise and anticipation. And when these are blended in various mixes, we experience secondary emotions. For example, like when joy and acceptance, for instance, blend. You know, we experience feeling of love, you know. Or when surprise blends with sadness, we experience maybe disappointment. You know, fear and surprise that blend maybe into awe of something. And that's just to name a few. You know, emotions are a complex area of study. It's really, really in-depth in psychology. But for our purpose tonight, we want to use our emotions as indicators of why we react to our environment. You know, our thoughts, our feelings, and even physical changes in our bodies are emotional indicators, which are all interconnected, and they all have varying degrees of intensity also. Okay? Our personal awareness and understanding of how we, you know, ourselves, how we experience reality through our emotions is definitely an art to be cultivated, you know. And it has to be cultivated deep within your heart and your mind and your body. Everything has to be connected. You can't just do it on one part of you. Okay, so let's talk about how emotions manifest in your body. Okay, emotions do tend to be felt in your body in ways that are generally consistent from one person to the next. Although, you know, different things may cause that experience, you know. Some people may experience love in a way that they appreciate and love you for who you are. And some people make up stories of the reality they would want to experience. So it's all about how. Hi, Miss Pretty. How are you? You know? Yeah, so I was reading something Paul was saying, you know. We all experience, he was saying, how do we experience the same emotions? Like we know what being angry means. We know that. Although something else other than what would get me angry is what is getting you angry. But we know when we all have experienced anger. And it doesn't matter what your age or your sex or your nationality is. You know, we've all been there. You know, and almost all emotions generate changes in the head area, you know, and it was emotions may suggest smiling, frowning, or maybe a skin temperature change, you know, while feelings of joy and anger. You want to either punch somebody or hug somebody. You know that feeling? Okay? So, perhaps, you know, perhaps you show emotions you like to hug. So you will more than, instead of punching somebody unless something really, really, really bad happened, where you don't really appreciate something, you would want to punch somebody, but you're more a hugger in those instances. You know, meanwhile, sensations in the digestive system and around the throat region, you know, are mainly found when you're in disgust of something. Have you ever felt so betrayed that you just start throwing up? Have you ever felt so betrayed by somebody that they reach out to touch you and you just start throwing up? That's from disgust, that feeling, it happens. You know, have you guys ever gone through any kind of emotion that affected you physically? Can you remember one time it happened? Call me and share with me. 646-595-3197. Call me and share with me. You know, these are studies done by psychologists and scientists, but it's worth noting that the body's sensations weren't measured by blood flow or heat or anything that could be measured, you know. They were based on physical twinges that the people who were in the experience reported that they got. You know, the results likely reveal subject perceptions about the impact of our mental states on the body. You know, is that a combination of your muscles and your visceral reactions and your nervous system responses, you know, that we can't easily differentiate, okay? So let's talk about how stress is, which is, I think, is the most common emotion that people are going through these days, and we're not finding ways to deal with it, you know? Feelings of stress are caused by the body's instinct to defend itself. You know, and this instinct is good in emergencies, you know, such as getting out of the way of a speeding car, you know, or in where you have to think quick and get out. And that is a stressful situation, which is a good thing that will help you. But stress can cause unhealthy symptoms in your body, you know, if it goes on for too long, and I can be telling you of this from experience. So this is why I'm talking about it, because sometimes we just need to be strong and try to hold things up and without letting some let the stress go somewhere, you know? It's as though your body get ready to jump out of the way of the car, but you're sitting still. You have that stress response, but you're trying to be strong and hold it in together and not work it out. And that means your body start working overtime with no place to put all of that extra energy. And this can start to make you feel anxious and afraid and worried. And any sort of change can make you feel stressed. Even a good change can, you know, help that stress to come on. And it is not just a change or an event, but it's also how you react to it that matters, you know. And what is stressful is different for each person, as I said. For example, you know, retirement comes up, and some people are looking forward to it, and some people are stressed out by it, that they have to retire because of whatever reasons. So, you know, so everybody act differently to an issue. You know, other things that may be stressful include being laid off from your job, you know, your child leaving or returning home, you know, the death of a loved one, a breakup, a divorce, you know, illness, an injury, even a job promotion, you know, money problems, definitely. Moving, having a baby, or even when you can't have a baby, you know, all of these bring stressful moments. And stress can definitely hurt your health. You know, stress cause health problems or make health problems worse. So always talk to your doctor if you're going through some symptoms. You know, and you're concerned about it. Let your doctor know that you're stressed, so he can make sure that, you know, by process of elimination, what is going on in you, and is not other health problems that is causing your symptoms. You know, some possible signs of stress include anxiety, back pain, you know, constipation or diarrhea, depression, fatigue, headaches, high blood pressure, trouble sleeping, problems with relationships, shortness of breath, stiff jaw or neck, upset stomach, weight gain or loss, you know. Those are just some of the signs. That's not all of them. Okay? So what are the things you can do to help your stress? The first step is to learn to recognize when you're feeling stressed. You know, and the early warning signs of stress can include and not limited to tension in your shoulders and your necks, or when you clench in your hands or your fists or your teeth, you know. That the next step is to choose a way to deal with your stress. And one way is to avoid the event or the thing that leads to your stress. And a lot of times that is not possible. Okay? It's just not possible at short notice to just do that. You have to work at it. A second way is to change how you react to stress. And this is often the best way, you know. Don't worry about things you can't control. Worry about things you can do. And you don't have to worry. Just do what you can do. What you can do, you just can't do. You can't help it. What are you going to do about it? You know, try and solve the little problems first. And this is, it will help you gain a sense of control. Fix what you can. You know, prepare for the best of your ability for events, you know, might be stressful, you know. So you have a presentation to do at work or at school or at your job. And it is stressful for you. Prepare as much as you can for it. So when the time comes, you can manage it. Okay? And look at change as positive. You know, don't look at it as a threat. Okay? Talk out your problems with somebody you trust. Talk to somebody. Set realistic goals. Don't go overboard thinking you can do all of this by yourself. Set small goals, baby steps, okay? And avoid overscheduling yourself. And important, well-balanced meal. Eat well and regular. I found this to be very, very detrimental to my health. You know, just give it up on eating and all of that and well, and it can become very detrimental. And that is part of stress. You don't feel like eating sometimes, you know. And I had to start to participate in the things I loved more. You know, like making my herbs and all of that. I had to find that area back into my life. And exercise is good too, because it's a good way to relieve your pent-up energy and tension. Okay, if you like walking, go for a walk. If you like jogging, go for a jog. It's good for the soul and the body. Just release it. Okay? Remember that exercise is known to release that chemical in your brain. Okay? And it helps you get in better shape. Even if you don't like to jump up and down, walking, swimming, riding a bike, whatever you like to do, just get walking, moving. And another thing that helps stress is to deep breathe. Okay? It really helps. It really helps to calm you down. Like, you can lie on a flat surface and place a hand upon your stomach. And place the other hand on your chest and breathe in slowly and try to make your stomach rise and hold your breath and breathe out slowly and breathe until your stomach, you release all the air and your stomach is sucked in. And just keep doing this for a while and you find how bringing oxygen to your cells really calm you down. Another way is through meditation. And, you know, meditation seems so daunting to a lot of people. But meditation is just a form of guided thought, which can take many forms. And you can do it with exercise that use the same motion over and over, even with walking or swimming or riding. Or you can practice by meditation, you know, by the relaxation training, you know, by stretching or by breathing deeply. Okay? And the relaxation training is very simple. You just have to keep your focus. You know, you start with one muscle and you hold it tight for a few seconds and relax the muscle. And do this with each of your muscles. Begin with your toes and your feet and working your way up through the rest of your body, one muscle group at a time. And you see how much stress that relieves. And stretching, can help stressing. You know, you can roll your head in a gentle circle, you know, reach toward the ceilings and bend to the side slowly, just stretching your body out, just moving your body around. Okay? And all of this may help you get plenty of oxygen and activate the relaxation process, and which is the body's antidote to stress. It works a miracle, you know. And if you need more help, you know, treating your stress for your symptoms, you know, some people may want to go to the doctor and ask him for medication. You know, but do a little research on what you can do for yourself first, you know, before you go get hooked on the medication. Okay, ask them for advice, of course, but see what you can do for yourself. And the next emotion is that a lot of people going through right now is grief. A lot of grief going on in the world these days. So many people dying from all kind of natural disasters and catastrophes in people's personal lives. And it's crazy. It's crazy. A lot of grief we've been suffering, you know? And grief is a normal, healthy response to a loss. You know, it describes the emotions you feel when you lose someone or something important to you. It could be a person, place, or a thing. It could be either of the three. You know, and people grieve for different reasons, you know, including, you know, relationship changes, whether it's by a divorce or a breakup or a death, you know, including friendships, you know, and changes in your health or the health of somebody you love, or losing a job, or changes in your financial security, or changes in your way of life, you know? Any changes are scary to a lot of people. What are the stages of grief? You know, when people talk about the stages of grief, they are talking about the five stages of grief, which are denial, anger, bargaining, depression. You know, and denial is like saying, no, this is really not happening to me, you know. And then you go through the anger stage and you're like, why is this? How can this happen to me, you know? And then you start bargaining, you know, about if I won't do this again if you give me this chance or something like that. And depression, you just seem to don't care anymore. And then you reach the acceptance stage where you're at peace with what has happened, you know. And all of those things are normal. But not everybody who is grieving experiences all of these emotions, not in the order it should. So psychologists say it should be experienced, you know? And it's also common to cycle back through some of these stages more than once, you know? And grief can have some symptoms, emotional symptoms and physical symptoms, you know? Symptoms may include anger and anxiety and the panic attacks and the blame and the bargaining and the confusion and the denial and feeling disorganized and having a lot of fear and irritability about you and numbness at the same time and sadness. You know, and physical symptoms may include crying spells, diarrhea, dizziness, you know, feeling like there's a lump in your throat, you know, headaches, hyperventilating sometimes, nausea, not feeling hungry, you know, restlessness and shortness of breath. Fight, you know, you feel like you tighten your chest. And you're tired all the time. You know, and even traditional Chinese medicine has provided the Western community with a clear, concise definition of how the mind and the body interact and communicate with each other. And they provide evidence and demonstration of how there's no separation of the mind, body, and spirit. And I will try to explain in plain language and my experience how to the process work and how they relate to, you know, us and our health. Like the lung and grief. In a traditional Chinese medicine takes a holistic approach to the disease. And one organ cannot be out of balance, the yin and the yang, for very long without affecting the function of another organ. Okay? And the lung is a most important organ, since it's responsible for bringing vital oxygen to every organ of the body. Okay? The dysfunctioning of the lung can have direct effects upon the heart, the liver, the kidney, and the spleen. And it's vital to keep the lung as healthy as possible. And each vital organ, the heart, the lung, the liver, the kidney, and the spleen, have an emotion that directly affects its functioning. And that emotion is almost directly functioning from the loss of grief. The functioning of the lung, that emotion affects the functioning of the lung. Okay, grief. Yes, John. Yes, it does. Yes, I've had the experience. I've seen other people go through this experience also. So I believe it is very true. Hold on. Yes, that is true. You know, grief, let's say grief also, Paul just shared, grief is a process that can have a health effect on the lung. Maybe, but I know that grief, if suffered for a long, long time, you know, it can have effect on the lungs. okay? And grief can come to a person in many forms. And as I said, the most obvious one is the loss of a loved one or even a pet. You know, these can be very devastating and intense. But they're also unconscious cycles of grief. We may be in and not be out. Okay? Meaningful relationships. It don't matter if it's a marriage or a boyfriend and a girlfriend, as long as that person is a significant other or even a best friend, could dissolve through abandonment or divorce or breakup, okay? A belief system you may have about a friend too or a parent may prove itself to be false. You know, this parent or friend who you believe to be reliable or dependable and loving, they may prove themselves to be a neglectful, arrogant, you know, and they may even betray you. What is this thing? Hold on, guys. This thing is saying my battery is running low, and I don't know why. Hold on, guys. Sorry about that. Just that my battery was running low. I'm gonna play a song. I'm gonna play positive. All right. Thank you. Welcome back to the Soulful Healing Talk Show. Thank you guys for being here. Hey, guest 1319. Thank you for being here. Hey, Karen. Hey, guys on Facebook. Yes, and Andrew just wrote, yes, it can be very disappointing when we confuse somebody for the images we have in our heads of them. Yes, it can be very disappointing, but we have to learn to see the big picture. Hey, Nav, how you doing, girl? Thank you for being here. We have to make sure who we, you know, painting a picture of. We have to see the real thing. And yes, it may be very painful to go through this realization. But is that, you know, this person must be grieved and let go, you know, and this allows you to spot the next one coming. And so you can establish newer and healthier relationships. You know, in another example, a person may put their heart and soul into a business failure and it fails, you know. Or when someone dies or we fail at something, we go through grief. And as long as you don't stagnate in these emotions, they are healthy emotions, but don't stagnate in them. And they will not cause the disease. And if anyone has ever experienced loss, whether it's by a breakup, a divorce, or death, it don't matter what, you know, a loss is a loss, you know, you'll understand the process, you know, time slows down and you're in a state of confusion and it kind of overcome you, you know, there's fatigue, there's lack of motivation, you know, there's rationalization about what went wrong, you know. And usually this culminates in a letting go process where there's crying, you know, bargaining and finally acceptance of what is and what will never be. You know, the process of confusion and fatigue and lack of motivation and finally crying is all necessary. And to do this, we must come out of our natural center and indulge in the process of letting go, you know. This is a natural and sometimes very necessary process because our energy and our cue to scatter and disperse out of our bodies. And if you ever done any serious grieving, you know that at the end of crying, you feel clean. You clean out and whole, but you're weak and you're scattered same way. And if this continues for too long, it leaves you longing, weak and vulnerable. And letting go of the person, place, or thing is the most important part of the process. It allows you to return to a state of normalcy. You know, it's the holding on that causes the disease. You know, a person can get stuck at any stage of the process and it can experience any stage of the symptoms. You know, and some people are caught in the grief cycles and don't even know it. And this is especially true for men because they have been denied the right to feel for a very long time. And I'm not picking on men, but it's a fact, you know. I'm not picking on you guys, so please don't jump on me. Okay, symptoms of a weak and scattered young yin are chest distress, you know, pain in the chest or the shoulder and the back, cough with sputum, you know, you have asthma, You may have dryness of the mouth and the throat or hoarseness, you know, and these symptoms are what people most experience when they go through the crying and the letting go process. And if they continue for too long, then the weakness of the lung, the energy of the lung, begins to affect the other organs, and this is where the disease process can set in. You know, prolonged grief can cause pneumonia. It can cause heart failure. It can cause liver and spleen disease, and it can negatively impact the kidneys too. And as time go by, you know, we grieve our relationships, our childhood, our failures, our memories, you know. We need to understand where we're in the cycle and allow nature sometimes to take its course. You know, we need to give our signs to think and negotiate and to be depressed. And eventually to let go and be joyful. And we need to do this to maintain our health and keep ourselves free of disease. You know, and there's no right way to grieve. Everybody is different. Give yourself time to experience your loss in your own way. But just remember to take care of yourself. You know, talk about how you're feeling. If you can find somebody you can trust, try to keep up with the daily tasks so you won't feel overwhelmed. You know, get enough sleep and eat well. You know, avoid alcohol if you can, because alcohol, especially me for wine can make me feel more depressed. You know, avoid making major decisions right away. And allow yourself to feel. Allow yourself to cry, to feel numb, to be angry, you know, or to feel whatever you're feeling. And if you need help, go get it. You may start feeling better little by little. You know, you may find that it's easier to get up in the morning, or you may have small bursts of energy. And this is the time when you begin to reorganize your life around your loss, you know. During this time, it may feel like you got through a series of up and downs, and it may feel better one day and worse the next. You know, these days happen, trust me. So you're not crazy for going through this. Eventually, you will start to reinvest in, you know, other activities and relationships. And during this time, it may feel normal to get guilty, you know. You may go over these things. And then you may feel anger. You know, and anger really is not good for you, because anger affects your liver. And most of us don't even think about our liver until we're in pain. But it's so important that we can only live our day or two without our liver, okay? If your liver shut down, you can only live a day or two. And it is located in the lower right quadrant of the abdomen. Man, time is going by so fast. The liver is where all health begins, because it supports every system. And it is the primary detoxifier for whatever we eat, whatever we inhale, whatever we eat or absorb into our body, you know, and it is stored as, and the liver also stores the fat-soluble vitamins such as D and E. which is very good for us too. But the liver gets easily clogged, especially these days with all of these processed and chemicals, food. We're not even eating real food anymore. Okay, even what you think is real is not real. And everything is so polluted. And we have so many environmental toxins. You need to feed and nourish your liver to have it functioning optimally. So if you are constantly ill-tempered or angry or always anxious, you know, they have a calling for you. They have a saying that you have an angry liver. And the liver is often referred to as the seat of anger also. And it ranges from mild irritation to intense rage. Anger is normal. And sometimes healthy, you know. But a lot of medical professionals and scientists have all shown that suppressed or out of control anger can cause damage to the liver. So even suppressed anger, okay, can cause damage to the liver. And for those already living with the liver disease, knowing about this association is very, very helpful, because then you can catch yourself. You can wonder if this is true and figure it out. Okay? By finding helpful ways to release and or deal with your emotions. You know, people with liver disease can prevent further liver damage if you try to get rid of your unhealthy reactions to anger. You know, in traditional Chinese medicine, anger causes the liver energy to flow to be blocked. And if pronounced enough, this congestion causes a sensation of heat rising up to the head, often showing as a red flame. You ever see those people, when they get angry, their face get red and their eyes get bloodshot? Okay? You know, a lot of acupuncture and Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, they have a lot of treatment strategy to improve the flow of the liver energy, you know. And for those with chronic liver disease who get angry easily, they have a lot of acupuncture and different techniques. And interestingly enough, those with chronic liver disease are frequently present with high levels of irritability and anger issues. Okay? They have a lot of issues going on with them. And, you know, anger have a link between CRP, which is a creative protein, and it produces, you know, it is involved with cardiovascular disease and stroke. It promotes this. When you're angry, your body produces more of it, and these are what are promoters of heart disease and strokes. And they're involved with plaque development, okay? And CRP is produced by the liver in response to inflammation. It's good to watch yourself, because you don't need these enzymes to be triggered off in you to cause any more issues. Okay? You know, try your deep breathing with all of these and ease your frustration levels by talking, you know, try to express yourself better in a way that people can understand without you being angry all the time. Okay? Try to share your feelings. And try to avoid jumping to conclusions that cause a lot of problems. And try to listen to others and understand what they are saying and come out of your own ideas. You know? Try go walk somewhere. Ride somewhere, go swim somewhere, get rid of that pent up energy. And when you are angry and you need to express yourself, try to express your feelings in a safe way so they don't fester and grow in anger. And remember, if you're angry, that means you're not happy. And if you're not happy, you probably don't feel like meditating and thinking positively and all of that. You know, so those are all the things that help you keep a good high vibration. And so if your liver is not working well, you may experience all kind of different issues. You may experience weight issues, even hormone havoc, you know. Overweight women are especially estrogen dominant. And this is why. It's because the liver stores hormones and convert fat to energy and it can handle excess. And the more fat cells you have, the more get created. And those fat cells get out of control and actually become an organ producing estrogen for women. Okay? So check your anger because all of these things can happen. You know, it can affect the digestive disruption because your liver share the bile duct with the gallbladder. And the bile duct helps us digest. And when the liver is congested, you don't absorb properly. And you experience stomach pains and you may get gallstones too. So what should you do if your liver is angry? Feed it well. Do at least that. You can feed it kale and garlic and red beets and avocado and lemon and grapefruit and apples. You know, olive oil and walnut, all of that support the liver. You know, avoid alcohol, fried, fatty, smoked, and salty foods. Drink water because it also flushes the toxins and transports the nutrients. And when you exercise or you sweat, toxins come out in your sweat too. And in any way you can, practice your stress reductions that we've went through before. You know, remember that stress causes inflammation and it impairs blood flow and it contributes to cell death by releasing harmful cells, you know. Supplement your liver by milk thistle and dandelion root, okay? And let us talk about how fear affects the kidneys. And I'm sure a lot of people can relate to the horrible pain that comes with either bladder or kidney infection. Okay? What causes the infection? You know, the easy answer, that is why your doctor prescribed antibiotics. To treat it, But what gets your kidney and bladder out of balance in the first place that allow the bacteria to make you sick? Fear, they say. The emotion that has been detrimental to your kidney and bladder is fear. Deep-rooted fear, they say. You know, I've talked to many dialysis patients. When I asked them if they were easily scared, and they always said yes. You know, they were afraid of everything. And when you talk to them a little bit more, you discover that their fears were more than a fear of needing machines to keep them alive. You know? When you listen to them, you find that fear became a way of life for them to live. You know, and this is how the society has gotten also. Very fearful of everything, you know. We're getting to a way that fear has become our way of living. And soon you're not going to realize that it was possible to live any other way but being fearful. Check yourself. You know, are you living in fear? Do you even know where your deepest fears come from? Most of us have been carrying our deepest fears around for so long that we don't even remember the root cause of your fear. It is not uncommon for deep set fears to linger with us for either 20, 30, 40 years. And, you know, if you realize that most fears are actually unfounded. In fact, fears that linger for years are usually nothing more than untrue stories that you never question. You know, you never take the time to examine where the fear come from. And if you took a questioning attitude, you'd find out the answers are crazy, and then it's not affecting you no more. They say traditional Chinese medicine say every organ has its prime time of day. Okay, and prime time of year. And this prime time of day, they say for bladders and kidneys are 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And you may find that your bladder and your kidney pain and problems are aggravated at this time, because that's when the organs work at their peak to get rid themselves of bugs or kidney stones or whatever it is, you know. The absolute low time for your kidneys and bladder is between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. And as in terms of season, winter is a prime season for your kidney and bladder. In the winter, your kidneys are more susceptible to influences from the outside. You know, taste is another factor that affects the kidney and the bladder. You know, so salty flavors work deep inside your body to keep you warm in the winter. Yes, but salty flavors, you know, is not always junk food either. You know, when I refer to salty, it can be, you know, soy sauce or miso or plain salt. You know, read the labels. You don't want to have any ingredients within your salt. That means no iodine, no fluoride, and no other additives. You know? And here's an interesting side note, too. The kidneys are related to your short-term memory And in Chinese medicine, long and short memories are attributed to your different organs. And the kidneys are believed to hold your life power. If your power is exhausted, you may get a wide range of problems, which includes some memory loss. Okay? And this occurs with older and younger people. Though some people think because of old memory loss is happening to young people too. And it's because they have lost their power. Not lost their power. Their power is exhausted. Okay? And that means your battery needs recharging and taking care of yourself is a requirement. You know? Common stomach problems from anxiety. You know, and even now scientists are confirming that the mind and the gut have strong connection. They said both are affected by the same hormones and the neurotransmitters, and both are extremely sensitive to stress and changes in these chemical patterns. So even scientists are now seeing the connection. And that's why when you have anxiety, you know, your stomach hurts you sometimes, most times. Okay? Stomach problems can be both a sign and symptom of anxiety that many people try hard to manage with dietary changes and exercise. But that alone is not going to cure the stomach problem. You need to learn how to stop your anxiety. You know, types of the stomach problems of anxiety that, you know, there's plenty stomach problems that you can get from anxiety. And what is interesting about anxiety stomach problems is that they occur at different times for different people. Some people get some stomach problems only when severe anxiety attacks. Others get these problems through the day, but they know they suffer from intense anxiety. Okay? The following represent the most common types of stomach problems. And remember, for many, the stomach also includes issues out with the bowels. Okay, so all of that is in there. Indigestion, okay? And the exact mechanism that causes indigestion is not even clear, but it's likely related to some or all of the things I'm going to talk about, the neurotransmitters and your hormones. You know, the gut digestion is affected by the same hormones and neurotransmitters as anxiety. So it stands to reason that when someone is suffering from anxiety, their hormones and neurotransmitters do not have the right balance. So your stomach should be affected. Okay? Adrenaline. Anxiety releases a great deal of adrenaline. And adrenaline changes the body's process to how it processes the nutrients for the body. When the adrenaline is pumping. Okay, and whenever your body's nutrient processing changes, it has a very direct effect to your overall digestion and stomach comfort. Okay, you may even experience stomach acid, which is usually called acid reflux. Okay, people who have anxiety usually have. Okay. So So it is indicated that the idea that stomach acid must increase during a time of stress. And when stomach acid increases, the chance of poor digestion, what happens? It increases because you're not releasing the right amount of acids you need. And when the brain is attempting to manage anxiety, it uses so much strength. Okay? So you forget how to deal with anxiety because you're trying to work it out in your head. So your body is like compensated. In other words, some part of the digestion process may be shut down or lessened, while other parts may speed up as a because of your brain activation. You know? Oh my God, the show is finishing. Let me see. Yeah, for anxiety, just do your breathing exercise, eat healthy, look after yourself. You know, make it a point of duty that you're looking after yourself. Okay? Let me get to... Yes, Andrew, I'm reading Andrew's response, you know. Obsessing about the problems is not going to help you. I'm talking to Andrew now. You know, focusing on what is always going to be wrong will definitely put you in that state of mind that you're expecting something to happen. Yes, it is true. That because you're creating it, your thoughts have created it all this time, and now it is a natural creation without you even wanting it to happen. Okay? So try to think about the good things instead of stressing about everything wrong going on in this world. Create your little world away from it all. And try to bring things that make you happy in it. In your little world. We can't help what this man is doing or this woman is doing. We can't help it. They're going to do what they have to do. But you have to do what you have to do too. Don't go stressing out your mind about what others are doing, Andrew. I understand that we live in a world that all kind of different things are happening. We can't help it a lot of times. But we can always live within our world. Right now, how you doing now? Hey, Karen, how everybody doing? Nobody talking, nobody calling. 10 minutes left for the show and nobody has called. Very funny. Now, when I said... You know, you don't have to pretend to be happy when you're feeling stressed or anxious or upset. It's important to deal with these negative feelings. But try to focus on the positive things that's going on in your life too. You know? You know, having a positive outlook definitely improves your quality and give your health a definite boost. You know, and there are times that You're like, what the hell? You know, why bother? Yeah, everybody have those days. And it's okay to have those days if you're actually human living in this great show. I'm reading and talking. I'm reading novels. Glad to be listening to your show. You know, thank you, Nav. Thank you for being here. Hey, Karen. But I'm just saying, you know, it is natural for you to feel this way. Excuse me. You know, but try to focus on positive things in your life and you will start feeling a little better. You know, develop some resilience in this life. People with resilience are able to cope with stress, you know, because resilience can be learned and strengthened with different strategies, you know. Keeping a positive view of yourself, accepting the change, and keep things in perspective. To the relaxation methods like meditation. This is useful because it helps bring your emotions into balance. You know, try and take care of yourself. To have good emotional health is important to take care of your body. You know, eating your healthy meals, getting enough sleep and exercise to relieve the pent-up tension going on. Avoid overeating and don't abuse drugs or alcohol. It just causes other problems, you know. Do a little emotional spring cleaning. You know, as we were growing up, so much of us learned that certain emotions like anger and sadness or joy are unacceptable. And we began to push them out of our awareness because of that. So because of that, we have accumulated a large load of emotional toxicity. You know, and it takes a toll on our mental and our physical health. So tune into your feelings, guys. You know, there are two main antidotes to emotional repression, and it's openness and acceptance. And if you stay open to all your feelings and not just the nice ones, you won't have to repress anything. Remember that feelings are so mean because we feel them in our bodies. And your mind may be an expert of hiding itself and denying feelings. Okay, but the body can't help the feelings. You know? It has no access to denial. When your body registers an emotion, there's an accompanying physical sensation. And every feeling has an important message. And when we let ourselves feel them and flow through us rather than moving them away, brushing them away, we can begin to experience our feelings and develop greater emotional well-being. And we'll be able to cultivate sympathy for whatever emotion arises in your own experience. Okay? I mean, by saying that, I just want to get this out. You know, instead of judging yourself, you can offer yourself compassion. You know, let yourself experience the feeling and go where it wants to go. You have the intention to be present and centered and aware. And I just want you to say thank you, guys, for always being here with me. Thank you for all your love, support, Karen, Navlet, all the guests that were signed in, chat room, and Sean, and Andrew, and Joe, and Stacey Ann. Thank you all, guys, for being here. Even though you didn't call me, but I give thanks for you guys, always. And I'm just going to play Be Free by Serrani as the closing. I'll catch you next time.
Let us unite with dance and harmony and just be free.
Be free and don't worry about no trouble. Be free. Regardless of your struggle, be free. Forget your enemies, be free. And be free, and don't worry about no trouble. Be free. Regardless of your struggle, be free. Forget your enemies, be free. And be free. It's just dance and rejoice. You think me do, that's my choice. I free my mind, I free my soul. That's where my heart will never grow cold. Free your mind from mental slavery. Attack the world with bravery. Be yourself, no matter the cost, and never put your life on pause. Be free, don't worry about no trouble. Be free, regardless of your struggles. Be free, forget your enemies. Be free. And be free, and don't worry about no trouble. Be free, regardless of your struggles. Be free, forget your enemies. Be free, and be free. Reaching out to all listeners, the good, the bad, the rich, the poor, to all prisoners. There is no darkness in love. Wave your hand and praise the Father up above. Be free and give to the poor. Be free, cause tomorrow's not sure. Cherish the ones you adore and let God's blessings go on. Be free, don't worry about the trouble. Be free, regardless of your struggles. Be free, forget your enemies. Be free, and be free, and don't worry about the trouble. Be free, regardless of your struggles.